You took pleasure in them that do commit it, and you said that it was good, which I have said it was not good. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So the third refrain of he that hath an ear, he will give us the hidden manna. Manna is that which God fed the children of Israel with as they went through the wilderness. They had nothing to eat, and he gave them manna, bread from heaven, the color of coriander, and it tasted like honey. And the word literally meant, what is it, I believe. What is it? Because they were like, what is it? What is it? And they ate it, and it was good. I will give them of the hidden, the concealed, the secret manna. It is a secret food. It says in Christ we must eat and drink his blood. We must eat his flesh and drink his blood, or else we have no life in us. We have to eat and drink Christ to inherit eternal life. And when we overcome, God has yet greater things in store for us. He has a hidden manna, secret treasures, things which we will take into us, which will nourish us and feed us and cause us to prosper in life eternal. People talk about heaven and all that. I mean, I just think of from the carnal standpoint, I mean, of being in a spiritual body, living forever. And, you know, you look at God has made such a vast universe. I mean, what is there to explore? What hidden treasures might there be for us in overcoming? You know, I don't want to miss it. He will give us a white stone, and in it, a new name written. That's our name, our true name, I suppose, a new name. And what is it? I remember people saying, oh, it's Christian, and blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. I don't know. I tend to think it'll be some sort of special new name. Like, you get your own new name. Your name is, you know, this. You know, your name is a Thunder Tree, or whatever. Something really cool. No one will know the name. It's you're going to receive this special name between you and God. Verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. That's right out of chapter 1. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His whole aspect was of one as on fire, or bright with light. Eyes flashing, feet flashing, raiment white, hair white, beard white. I know thy works. Verse 19, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. I think that the context there means the last works were more than the first works. Remember in Smyrna, he said, repent and do the first works, or else it will come to thee quickly. It's a sense of deterioration. And we see that in a lot of church-related things in these days. And even more, you will see it in the last days, that the things have deteriorated, and the old works were better than the new. Charity is the word in Greek, agape, which means love, service, faith, patience, works. The last to be more than the first. Kind of a sinister hint there. Verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And that goes right back to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now, it's interesting, fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. Well, that looks just like it said in Balaam, who taught Balak to do the same. So there's some sort of connection there. This eating things sacrificed to idols, Paul actually wrote about this. And his take on it was, we have knowledge. And we know that an idol is nothing, right? And this is almost a contradiction, because Paul said that technically there's really nothing wrong with eating food that had been sacrificed to idols. It's just meat. Back then, all the sacrifices would be made at the temples, in the Greek temples, to these gods. And there'd be more meat maybe than the priests could eat, so they would sell it. And people would buy it to these little, you know, butcher shops out back of the temple, I suppose, selling off the meat. And people would begin to worry. Christians were worried, is it okay that this was sacrificed to idols? Do I have to worry about this? You know, should I not eat this meat? Is it somehow magically tainted?
And the judgment of the Apostle Paul was no.
Whatever you buy, don't ask any questions where it came from for the sake of your conscience. Obviously, if it troubles you, you probably shouldn't do it because there's some sort of the evil thing in your conscience telling you this is sacrificed to Diana. Maybe the old paganism sort of slipping into your mind and perverting your mind.
But Paul's most basic judgment about it was that even if it was sacrificed to an idol, it's just meat because an idol is nothing until you make it something. So with certain qualifications, the Apostle Paul said, eating meat that was sacrificed to idols is permissible.
But here in the Revelation, it's a big deal. Oh, they should not eat things sacrificed to idols.
So in order to reconcile the two ideas, we see that under certain qualifications, eating things sacrificed to idols is permissible. But with other qualifications, it is not permissible.
Whereas Paul was talking about people eating things sacrificed to idols unaware, basically, or getting them from shops that may have been sacrificed to idols. He said, if you're strong in the faith and you know it's nothing, it's no big deal. But if you're worried about it,
or if you knowingly do it with your conscience telling you it's wrong.
I think what Christ is saying is, in this case, Jezebel is leading them to knowingly eat things sacrificed to idols. We're not talking about going to the butcher shop, the shambles as it was called, and picking up some meat that could be from an idol or that you could inquire and find out, it came from the temple of Diana or something. No, we're talking about doing things directly in defiance of God's dictates.
We're not talking about someone eating something sacrificed to an idol but having a strong, clean conscience. We're talking about people doing things they know are wrong, but doing them anyways. Perhaps because they think God doesn't care. I see a lot of that in the church. People doing things they know are wrong, and that they know that Christianity teaches they're wrong, but hey, God forgives us. It doesn't matter. That's not the way Paul taught.
I don't think Paul's words are to be overturned by this. What he says is wise and it still stands. When the children of Israel were seduced by Balaam, or by Balak, what Balak did is he sent his women in, idolatrous women, to seduce them into fornication and to seduce them into idolatry. They were offering meat to idols and eating it.